So we've been talking about the kingdom and advancing the kingdom. Last week we talked about what the kingdom is. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We focused in on righteousness and our union with Christ as our identity as new creations being restored to childlike innocence. Now, as we embrace this righteousness that comes by faith, only by faith, not by works, as we embrace our union with Christ and new creation realities, we are being transformed from the inside out. Romans 12, verse 2b, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As we renew our minds to the truth of who God is and who we are being transformed. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. The Greek word there, metamorpho, means transfiguration. And it's the same word that is used for Jesus being transfigured on the mountain. And for our transfiguration through the renewing of our minds in Romans 12, verse 2. This transforming glory is the result of gazing upon the beauty and splendor of Jesus Christ. All of us are in this process of transformation as we yield to the kingdom of God that's within us, and as we yield to the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit becomes manifested. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, which can also mean meekness or humility, and self-control. All the fruit of the Spirit are expressions of love. I would love to spend more time talking about peace and joy because they are also a part of the kingdom. However, we're going to be leaving that for another time. I want to get into advancing the kingdom through creative dominion. We have been co-crucified, co-made alive, co-ascended, and co-seated with Christ. We have come into oneness with the most creative being ever to exist. He is Creator. And now we are invited to co-reign and co-create with him. Romans 5, verse 17 says, for if by the transgression of one man death reigned through the one, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Revelations 5, verse 10. And you have made them a kingdom, a royal race, and priests to our God, and they shall reign as kings over the earth. We are royalty through the blood of Jesus. In the Passion Translation footnotes, it says that the present tense of the Greek verb indicates that the reign of believers on earth has already begun. It's not just for the future. So how do we reign in life? Especially in a culture where many, many negative things are happening. Sean Bolt says this, there are two types of Christian responses to negative things that happen in our culture. There's the political response. We protest, we say, no, we don't believe this. Now, this can be powerful if done the right way. And there was some evidence of that when we watched the unplanned movie. There was evidence of some protesting that was done kind of, I would have said, not in a good way. And then there was some protesting that was done, I felt, in a powerful way. However, there's a more powerful way to protest, and that is to manifest the opposite spirit. Manifest adoption in an abortion culture. And we have a powerful example of that in our congregation. Brian and Ruth. Matthew and Sabrina, another couple. Manifest healthy family and marriage in a culture of sexual orientation. Manifest embracing different ethnicities in the midst of racism. Manifest unity in the body of Christ in the midst of strife and division. Manifest the good news amidst so much bad news. Manifest the transformation that comes from the inside out. Manifest love in the midst of hatred. Manifest the light of the glory of God. The uncreated light. We are called to transform cities, our nation, to transform the nations of the earth in union with Christ. And I believe one of the most powerful ways is through manifesting the creativity of God. For the rest of this morning, I'd like to share some ideas that come from Dan McCollum, one of the teachers I heard at the Bethel School of Worship in 2016. During a nap before a conference, Dan had a dream in which God asked him, "What is the first commandment?" His quick response was, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength." God's reply was not the first in importance, but the first one I gave. God directed him to Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28. God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth." Here we find the first commandment God ever gave to humanity. Be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion. Rule. This is the Genesis mandate. And this phrase dropped into Dan's spirit. Creative dominion. God created man in his image. And creativity is one of the highest manifestations of the divine nature. When you create, you are acting the most like God. We are in fact called to co-create with God through our union with Christ. He invites us into intimate communion with him, mostly because he enjoys us and he delights in us. But he also loves to share his ideas, his thoughts, his wisdom, so that we can co-create, and so that what we co-create is life-giving and Christ-centered and not self-centered. Colossians 2 verse 3 says all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom are hidden in Christ. And they're not hidden from us. They're hidden for us. They're hidden for us to discover. Treasures like we've never heard of before. We have but tapped the surface of the treasures that are in Christ. Romans 1 verse 20 says, for ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and his attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, his handiworks. So men are without excuse, altogether without defense or justification. Creation is declaring the glory of God and what you can know about God in such a way that it's undeniable that he exists. In the same way, when we create, we are revealing something about ourselves and something about God. Here are 5 points to consider in regards to creativity. We are revealing that we are sons of God, made in the image of the Creator. 2, the devil has never created anything. He cannot create. He can only pervert and twist what God has created. And everything that is a twisted counterfeit has a righteous real. All things have always originated in God, and all things exist in him. 3, when you're creating, you are prophesying. We heard prophecy this morning. You're flowing in the same spirit of imagination. He made from his imagination, you make from your imagination, and you're sending a message. Creativity is not a gift that some people have and others don't have. That's a Greek idea that comes from Greek mythology and polytheism. Greeks believed that there were spirits of poetry, spirits of music, spirits of design, and those spirits would come on you and create something. That is false. People think creativity is a mood or a gift or a feeling. This also is false religion. It's idolatry, which is a wrong idea about God. And it also comes from Greek mythology and Hellenistic thinking. Creativity does not come and go. Creativity is the divine nature of God in every son of God, and actually in every person on the earth, even if they have not yet received the love of Abba Father. Creativity distinguishes us from all other creation. Animals can create, but they cannot be creative. For example, birds make nests. But after hundreds of years, have you ever seen a condominium for birds to rent? They're not innovative or imaginative. We've got to get rid of the idea that creativity is a gift or a feeling. The implications are huge. If creativity comes from the divine nature, it's always available, and it's available for everyone. Be fruitful. Multiply. This is creativity. Then comes the dominion part. Rule over the fish, over the birds of the air. There's a principle of creative dominion. When you take responsibility for your creativity, it releases authority. That means when you take responsibility for your God ideas and you steward them and do something with them, it releases favor, authority, and influence within society. The world is transformed through ideas, imaginations that become flesh. Creativity is meant to give you authority, favor, and influence, and it's meant to flow out of intimate communion with Jesus to give birth to life in the earth. It's co-creating with Him that gives birth to life. Let them create. Let them rule. There's a connection between your ability to influence and your ability to rule and bring transformation. All creation is longing for this. As I said last week, creation is not groaning for the return of Christ, although that's going to be awesome. But it is groaning for sons of God to figure out who they are so they can release what they have. Now, you might have a wrong thinking about dominion. It's not about us wanting to take over the world. Now, there might be some Christians who want to do this, but Jesus said this: "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men hold them in subjection, tyrannizing over them. Not so among you. Whoever wishes to be great among you must be servant." Jesus is saying the way we do kingdom is different than the way the world does it. Don't lord it over people like the kingdoms of the world. If you want to be great in my kingdom, be servant of all. So dominion is the power to influence, the authority and the favor to influence, and the power to serve the world around you with the genius of heaven, the revelation that empowers you to serve with kingdom ideas. Bill Johnson puts it this way: rule with the heart of a servant and serve with the heart of a king. As stewards, we are told not to hide our creative ideas, but to take a chance, a risk with our idea. If all our ideas are in our head, if all our paintings are in our closet, we have no authority or influence. We never let our imagination become a manifestation because we're afraid. Afraid to be vulnerable. Afraid to be teachable. Afraid that what we create isn't valuable. Fear is a robber in every area of life. It's time to get over our fear, our insecurity, our jealousy, our comparison. And I'm talking to me as much as to everyone else. We need to be teachable, because it's the first thing we share is probably not going to be perfect. In fact, it might fall flat. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. So we need partnerships with other people to work in community. In Babylon, they were building the Tower of Babel. They were together. They were in unity. But they were building something that did not have its foundation in Christ. God was not threatened by it. He's not threatened by what we humans do. He just knew that kind of power without the presence and without union with Christ would be oppressive to humanity. Now, from our union with Christ, we engage with heaven. We engage with the throne room. We engage with each other. He made us so we could choose to celebrate each other's differences and value each other's strengths. There are people who might see potential obstacles to the success of our ideas, or might know how to make our song better, or our writing more effective, or our business ideas more profitable. These people are visionaries who are refiners. We need to learn to value the people who see what's wrong with our ideas. And that's not easy. It's very easy to take that as, oh, that's just criticism, or to become offended. Our sound, our creativity, is like a symphony. Matthew 18, verse 19 says this, "Again, I tell you, if two of you agree," and that word means to harmonize together, to make a symphony, "about whatever, anything, and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven." What an amazing promise. I mean, can you really believe that? Anything and everything, if we agree. When it says that where two or three agree, that word is not us all saying or doing the same thing. A symphony has many different instruments, and they do not all make the same sound. Each different instrument makes a unique sound, but in harmony with the others. One sound is agreement that is embracing and celebrating our differences. To agree is to make a symphony, many sounds coming together to play the same song in harmony under the direction of the master conductor. I think we saw an example of that this morning. And only a few people making a symphony in harmony with one another can shift the atmosphere of an entire region. It is time for us to come into maturity as sons and as the bride of Christ. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is inside of us. Scriptures call it the incomparable, measureless power of Christ. And it's this power that fuels our creativity. We've seen but a minute amount of this explosive power released. I believe the reason could be because we've been immature. If God had released us to walk in that level of power, it's possible that we would have destroyed the earth many times over instead of releasing it from its bondage. Now, if you've said that because you don't play music or do art, I'm not creative, that's a lie. Every person in this room is creative. When Solomon was given the wisdom of heaven, people gathered to him. They did not gather for a sermon. They didn't even gather for a miracle. They gathered for a solution. The solution for every problem in this world is in Christ. There is a solution. We can so easily lose hope. Hopelessness is rooted in the wrong kingdom. There is a solution. Some of you will write books that will touch millions. Some of you will develop medicines that will impact our world. Some of you will develop natural remedies that will heal and bring greater health and longevity. Some of you will develop software that will revolutionize businesses. Some of you will write songs that will shift entire nations. Some of you will write songs that will heal people emotionally and also physically. Some of you will create dances that will set people free. It's time to break free from limited mindsets. To break free from religious mindsets. I believe Jesus is inviting us to dream again. Acts 2, verses 17 to 18. And it shall come to pass, God declares, that I will pour out of my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yes, and on my men servants also, and my maid servants in those days, I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. You will prophesy with your creativity. All are included. Did you hear that? All. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Not just young people. Not just older people. All are included. The younger, the older, the in between. All. This morning, be set free from disappointments. Be healed of the pain of dreams that have died, or ideas that have been rejected. Be healed this morning of all rejection. Let go of bitterness and unforgiveness. Let go of any sense that you don't belong or that it's not for you. Let go of cynicism and skepticism. Let go of religion. Receive the capacity to dream again. Receive skillful and godly wisdom. Receive creative solutions, creative ideas that will bless people and all creation. It's for everyone. Now, possibly, there are those here who feel like your idea has been ignored. I heard Christine Kane from Australia speak a very powerful message about being developed in the hidden place. She compared it to, remember the cameras we used to have that had films in them? That's long, long ago, you know. So we had to fill this camera up by taking pictures. Then we had to take the film, well, just a little thing about like this, to the Photoshop. And they would develop them. And we'd have to wait for a week or whatever it was. And what they do with this film, they take it into the dark room. Into the hidden place. And if you expose that film to light before it's developed, the pictures are ruined. There's a hidden place. There's a hidden place where God wants to develop you. The most beautiful picture. He doesn't want it to be spoiled. Let him draw you into the hidden place. The room where maybe it feels dark and insignificant. Nobody knows you're there. But he wants to develop you, this beautiful masterpiece. So you have something that's life-giving to birth in the earth. The word awaken came to me this morning. Awaken to who you are. And what you carry. Awaken to resurrection life inside of you. Awaken, O oak of righteousness, that seed that's inside you. I speak to that seed inside you. O seed, grow. Oak of righteousness, grow. And overtake this house. As an oak of righteousness, you are called to repair the ruins of cities, the desolation of many generations. I just want to take us to take a minute again. To focus on the throne room. As that scripture in Colossians again says, relocate yourself mentally in heavenly places. The door is always open. So Jesus, we come. This morning we come as a body into the throne room to behold your glory. Because it's in you, Jesus, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. We come to behold your glory. Because you are like no other. This morning, see Abba Father embracing you as his beloved son. Hear him saying to you, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Let him love you. Let him flush out all the lies and the toxicity that comes from believing lies. And Jesus, we just thank you for the hidden place. We thank you that we are invited to come anytime and all the time. Thank you, Jesus.